quote, had his origin and birth been wholly apart from mortal usage, Jesus would not have been appreciable to mortal mind as the way, unquote. Jesus, beloved, replete by flesh inbound, whose birth in a stable changed everything forever, had to become part of the illusion in order to be the Savior for mankind. He had to appear as a fleshly, corporeal mortal, or he could not have shown mortals how to rise out of and overcome the belief of the flesh. Because he took upon himself the deception, the misconception of the flesh, Jesus is called the last Adam. And because Mary Baker Eddy, in order to complete the work of Christ Jesus on earth, had to appear as a fleshly mortal, she is referred to as the last Eve. Page 51, Christ is God, the principle and soul of the man Jesus, constituting Christ Jesus, that is, principle and idea. But the person of our Master was not less tangible or real because his life was hid with Christ in God. That is, because he held life, soul, and not sense. This put all things under his feet. 19 centuries later, the realization that life in and of spirit, soul, is the only real life, put all things under the feet of Mary Baker Eddy. Her light, too, was born where storm enshrouds, nor dawn nor day. Her scientific understanding of our divine being gave her control over the illusion of matter. It enabled her to complete the mission of Christ Jesus on earth by explaining his words and deeds. As each individual on earth understands the missions of Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy in both their divine and human meaning, will he gradually understand his own life purpose in the realm of love, our divine principle. Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy are redeemers of the human race. They reach us where we are and help us make the transition from enslavement to the universal hypnotism imposed by having been born into a fleshly form to the infinite, boundless bliss of life in and of spirit. Because Christ Jesus had the true idea of man and the universe, and because he had the true idea of body as the embodiment of infinite good, he embraced the universe and man within his own consciousness, where his God mind governed it, instead of circumstances governing him. Therefore, when Pilate told Jesus, "I have power to crucify thee," Jesus quietly answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above." The crucifixion was divinely ordained. It showed humanity that man's mind, capital M mind, has complete dominion over the body. Because in fulfillment of scriptural prophecy, Mary Baker Eddy founded the truth in human consciousness, we can all become aware that we are divine, infinite consciousness, and not corporeal bodies. Quote, "In divine revelation, material and corporeal selfhood disappear, and the spiritual idea, the writings of Mary Baker Eddy, which include the teachings of Christ Jesus, is understood." Page 54. To be the recipient of truth, we must begin to recognize ourselves soul, spiritual awareness, and not body, and receive and impart the teachings of spirit. Man never obtains immortality until the standpoint whence he reckons himself in all the summing up of life and intelligence is soul and not sense. Unquote. Soul is the awareness, the realization that God, the mind that is love, is your mind, and that spirit is this mind's only substance. The Word of God is already your true consciousness, and, through its explanations, your divinity is being unveiled to you. Mortal thought does not at once catch the higher meaning, and can do so only as thought is educated up to spiritual apprehension. St. Paul, therefore, urges, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." All must take the footsteps of truth that lead upward, until human thought surrenders to the divine mind, the divine consciousness that has its source in the kingdom of God within us. The Christ science brings infinite good down to man, and this descending Christ science causes man to rise in the ascending way by which the little mortal I is dropped and exchanged for the immortal I am. As mortals peck open their shells with Christian science and look outward and upward, by the grace and authority of God they can close their thought tightly against the interference of mortal mind interruptions with its misconceptions. And once we are on the housetop, we should not come down to take anything out of the house, human thinking. Infinite good is omnipresent, since it is the kingdom of God within our own consciousness. But we demonstrate it only through the daily evangelization of holding thought steadfastly to the enduring, the good, and the true. The concordances show more than 50 references in her published writings to the word daily, and this daily effort. Review of First Edition, Chapter 2, Imposition and Demonstration. Brief 18, The One I, or Us. The One I is the I of all. Chapter 2, Imposition and Demonstration, begins immediately to instruct the reader regarding the impositions of hypnotism, which uses the five physical senses as its channel to deceive mortals. In Chapter 2, we learn that the I, that is our divine being, embodies everything we will ever need, and will bring it forth as we turn to it in prayer. Page 65. When we are spirit, we shall have gained the high import of this scripture, I and the Father, mind, are one, and shall find, too, this oneness occasions no loss of identity, but that I signifies spirit and not matter, principle and not person, soul and not body. Note how Mrs. Eddy states repeatedly that we are spirit, we are soul, and we must reckon ourselves principle. Even the intelligence represented by all ideas, symbolizing harmony, from a blade of grass to a star. The question at present is whether this I is principle or person, soul or body, yea, God or man. Principle is soul. Intelligence, the I am. The I am that is your true identity. But where do we place the I? Is it spirit in matter, soul in body, life in the flower? Or is it the outside intelligence, mind, and life that form these? The science of being reveals God not in matter, since there is no matter. The sense of matter or corporeality is illusion. Therefore this I is not body nor in body, but soul outside of matter, illusion, and through this reckoning man gains eternal identity. Unquote. God is the only I, therefore God is your I because you know you exist. In the above citation she says, when we are spirit, we shall have gained the high import of I and the Father, mine, are one. This means our Christ consciousness is the invisible activity, law, and substance of that which appears as effect. She is telling you that you, the visible expression, are the instrument, the vehicle for you, the I. The I Am that is God, your invisible Christ consciousness. But this does not make two. You and your Christ consciousness remain one. You, the visible, are just the expression of your infinite invisible Christ consciousness, biblically called the Father. The visible you expresses the infinite invisible you, while the infinite invisible you manifests itself as the visible you. In chapter 3, she speaks of you, the soul and circumference of being, are a law to your members. The I, God and the I, you, are one. The I, God, is the invisible divine principle for which the I, you, is the expression, or visible form. But again, this does not make two because we acknowledge I and the Father are one. The divine inner I, or self, is greater than that which is seen, called Jesus, John, or Mary, the manifestation. Here Mrs. Eddy is teaching us that the I of you is the Father, and Jesus, John, or Mary, is what is biblically called the Son, and while they are always communing, they are never two. The Father mind is the inner invisible, while the you, the Jesus, John, or Mary, is the visible appearing of the inner I. This is why Jesus could say to Philip, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? To you and to each one this I is saying, Have I been so long with you, that ye have not known that this I in the midst of you is the only God, is your God? On page 151 she says, The less we admit illusion, matter, intelligent, and cease to call the body I, the more we gather ourselves in the good, and the sooner will God be understood. In many different ways, she tells us that all formations are shadows of being, and we their soul and substance. As has been previously stated on page 588 of Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy defines the I or ego, your I, as divine principle, spirit, soul, incorporeal, unerring, immortal, and eternal mind. This I or ego is the I of every individual. Though you may not be aware of it, the divine identity that you now are in reality is this I that you've always been and always will be. The great spiritual fact must be brought out that man is, not shall be, perfect and immortal. Man is the shadowing forth of the perfect and immortal I that I am, of the perfect and immortal I that you are. So again, there is only one I, which is the I of all. Physician, heal thyself. Luke 4 tells us that when we actually realize the absolute truth about our own I, it reaches the I of our patient and heals him, because one with God is a majority. Jesus knew he and the Father were one, and that there is no death to the I or of any individual. He therefore could, with authority, command, Lazarus, come forth. This I that I am, this oneness with mind, spirit, soul, principle, will become more apparent as material beliefs are given up and the immortal facts of being are admitted. The Bible says, All shall know me, from the least of them unto the greatest. This me, the Bible here speaks of, is you, your Christ consciousness, the kingdom of God within you. This me is infinite good identified as your mind, your life. When this is understood, it will enable you to do the greater works promised by Jesus. An understanding of the fact that I and the Father mind are one, identifying our consciousness as the one divine consciousness, explains Mrs. Eddy's insistence that we should regard ourselves principle, as she said Jesus did, and also that we shall be more blessed to find ourselves principle than person, God than man, soul than sense. Therefore, it would logically follow the kingdom of God within you, it doeth the works. A mistaken mortal sense of a self apart from God can do nothing. As you are silent and listen for the truth, the I to speak, you become aware of the one divine I as your identity and as the identity of every individual. Mrs. Eddy's demonstration of this I as her I enabled her to translate the mortal concept to become aware of Revelation's new heaven and new earth, where human birth was obsolete, where, in consequence, there was no more death. All tears were wiped away, and there was no more sorrow nor crying. Neither was there any more pain. She saw clearly that the illusion of having a material body would pass away in proportion as mankind was spiritually instructed. Heaven is here. We are in it, since it is our own Christ consciousness. Only the veil of the flesh, the belief of being saddled with corporeality, the hypnotic testimony of the five physical senses, has blinded us to this heaven, this omnipresence of present perfection. Today we must realize we are ready and worthy to choose to meditate on and to live Mrs. Eddy's highest statements. In them alone do we find our true identity as one with infinite good. Page 67. When life is really gained outside of matter, it is understood, in which case the belief that life was ever in the body is gone and cannot be resurrected. Should this understanding reign here and now, we could make the transition to spiritual existence alone, leaving behind only our concept of the body. Unquote. In the great revelation that came to Mrs. Eddy in February of 1866, she realized she could not die, and there was no cause for failure, discouragement, or sorrow. Every scientist, she said, must put absolutely out of his thought the belief that he must sometime change to another plane of existence. God is life. There is no other plane of existence, and we must make our plans for immortality and stop talking about death. There is no death to life. Death is powerless against a correct understanding of the I that is God, the I that you are, the kingdom of God within you. This I that you are will never leave you nor forsake you. Christian Science has come to reveal heaven. Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present. I am come. My kingdom of heaven is within me. I am the temple of the living God. The plane we are now on is the only plane. Therefore awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Final deliverance from death, sorrow, and pain will come here and now as the result of the science Mrs. Eddy founded in human consciousness, revealing that the I of you is God, and it knows your every need and fills it as you turn to it in silent, fervent prayer. As we rise spiritually and lose our sense of I in matter, we gain the awareness of our forever selfhood in spirit, the selfhood Christ Jesus manifested. The sense of having a physical body will go the way of the belief in a flat earth. Page 71. The ideas of God retain their distinct identities and are controlled only by the principle that evoked them. Unquote. Knowing the truth that the I of us is God reveals our Christhood, our distinct identity, that is controlled by principle. It does not improve a mortal. Rather, in proportion as we die daily to our sense of mortality, the identity that is one with principle comes into view. Everything flows from the principle, the kingdom of God within you. Why? Because an understanding of reality, of your true identity, enables you, like Jesus, to say, I am the bread of life, and whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall find it a well of water springing up into everlasting life. We all must learn that our own divine mind is the source of all good. Therefore, it is important to ask ourselves, as Elisha did of the widow, what hast thou in thine house, thy consciousness? She had a pot of oil. Oil is defined in science and health as consecration, charity, gentleness, prayer, heavenly inspiration. As we keep the lamp of our life continually full of oil and wed ourselves to the spiritual idea, Christ, meaning the combined teachings of Mary Baker Eddy and Christ Jesus, we learn to heal and teach and preach on the ascending scale of everlasting life and love. We can continually get the revelation, the impartation we need, since it is available from the I within our own consciousness. We are admonished, cast thy bread, truth, upon the waters. Only what flows forth from us can come back to us. What we get in life is a result of what we give out. Because the kingdom of God is the I within you, it is omnipresent. You do not have to reach for it. Only become aware of it. Right where you are, infinite good is. And where infinite good is, you are. Healing results when we realize our oneness with the principle that is love. Mrs. Eddy said, I never saw a sick man. This right point of view enabled her to restore the sick and sinning. A vital factor in Mrs. Eddy's healing ability was her great love for all humanity. She said she saw the love of God encircling the universe and man, filling all space, and that this divine love so permeated her consciousness that she loved with Christ-like compassion everything she saw. This realization of divine love called into expression the beauty of holiness, the perfection of being, which healed and regenerated all who turned to her for help. The basic fundamental point. On page 77 we read, the final understanding that we are spirit must come. At present we know not what we are, but hereafter we shall be found love, life, and truth, because we understand them. Unquote. The final understanding that we are spirit must come because under the microscope of spirit, matter disappears. Thus spirit is found the only reality. Spirit and its nature is found to be one, and spirit, which is the only substance, is therefore the substance of all form. By its nature we mean such qualities as purity, reality, order, strength, understanding, illumination, unfoldment, development, discernment, infinite good. The final understanding that we are spirit will bring with it the power and prerogative of mind, the strength of spirit, the bliss and freedom of soul, the harmony of principle. This understanding will bring the life which forever individualizes all good, the truth which makes all good factual, and the divine love which keeps it always meeting the need completely and in the best possible way. This is reality. It is all true here and now. Ignorance and universal hypnotic suggestion alone have blinded us to thy kingdom is come, thou art ever present. As stated before, all that our ignorance does is to affect our vision, our view of all things, It does not change our forever oneness with the omnipotence of infinite good. The fixedness of mortal illusions. On page 111 we read, "Matter is but a grosser stratum of mortal mind, wherein one belief introduces and destroys another in Darwinian process. As before stated, spirit is intelligence, whereas the basis of matter is belief. The former is science, or truth, the latter mesmerism. The body that is mortal is an individual belief that germinates, grows, and decays, dust to dust, and mortal man is just this belief, even a phenomenon of mesmerism, an error construing man matter." Unquote. Could she make plainer what it is that human birth initiates? As the Bible states, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." Job cursed his day and said, "Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived." In Jeremiah we read, "Cursed be the day wherein I was born." Commenting on these scriptural verdicts, Mrs. Eddy declared, "A curse on sin is always a blessing to the human race." Many passages in the four Gospels confirm the curse Job and Jeremiah pronounced on human birth, such as, "Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven." Luke 23 states conclusively, "Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear," said Christ Jesus. "I am come to destroy the works of birth," he said. In the not too distant future, as material history draws to a close, human birth and death will be obsolete. Mrs. Eddy instructed her board of directors, quote, "There is nothing jubilant attached to the birth of a mortal that suffers and pays the penalty of his parents' misconception of man and God's creation." It was this teaching in her early classes that caused her so much trouble and almost wrecked her mission. Regarding this mortal material mentality with which she was confronted, she wrote, "Until the author of this book learned the vastness of Christian Science, the fixedness of mortal illusions, and the human hatred of truth, she cherished sanguine hopes that Christian Science would meet with immediate and universal acceptance." Unquote. And so it came to pass that in Science and Health, this great truth is hidden under such modest and inoffensive statements as, quote, "Proportionately as human generation ceases, the unbroken links of eternal harmonious being will be spiritually discerned, and man, not of the earth earthly, but coexistent with God, will appear." Unquote. When persecution ceases to bless, it ceases to occur. On page 131 we read, "Anomalous though it seems, I have no doubt that Jesus was shunned and deemed a bad man at the period of his public labors by all save a few unpretentious ones whose Christianity enabled them to understand him. This was the cup drank to the dregs by our Master. He also spake of those who followed him drinking this very cup, which must indeed be the case if they are in advance of the public sentiment." Unquote. Mrs. Eddy is here speaking from experience. Earth reserves its cruelest treatment for its saviors. Even by 1875, many savage attacks had been heaped upon her. The lifelong sacrifices she made for others were often met by envy, ingratitude, and enmity. Earth has no recompense for a life such as that of Jesus and of Mary Baker Eddy. The understanding of God is its only recompense. It lifts being above mortal discords, illusions, and gives it immortal harmony. The letter of the law of God separated from its spirit tends to demoralize mortals. For 44 years, Mrs. Eddy met the fixedness of mortal illusions and the human hatred of truth, always returning blessing for cursing. Her sense of matter was the opposite of that which the world entertained. She taught mortals the unreality of evil and error, and how to translate substance into its original meaning, mind. Her discrediting of ordinary religious belief and opinion met with fierce opposition and detraction. From the beginning of her great battle, every forward step was met not by mankind, but by a kind of men, with mockery, envy, rivalry, and falsehood, as achievement after achievement was blazoned on the forefront of the world and recorded in heaven. She found that the vengeance with which doctrines and beliefs pursue truth has not ceased in this century. Mrs. Eddy early learned that every forward step she took and every truth she uttered would be resisted, even by her own students. The belief of male superiority was generally accepted in her time. In 1901, a renegade student brought a long, bitter lawsuit against her. In 1906, newspapers and magazines began a year-long smear campaign, publishing lies and malicious attacks on her. Lies were heaped upon lies and spread abroad as news. In March of 1907, the Next Friends suit began, which the newspaper attacks had been leading up to. This court trial was instituted to prove whether Mrs. Eddy, at 86, was mentally sound and capable of handling her own affairs. When the court sent Masters, with a senior counsel on each side, took Mrs. Eddy's testimony, they were amazed at her intelligence and her grasp of financial affairs, as well as her good humor. After this whole cruel experience was over, she said simply, "When these things cease to bless, they will cease to occur." She knew that trials and sorrows wean us away from materiality. They teach us to drop illusions and turn us unreservedly to spirit, to the kingdom of God already within our own consciousness. What was the blessing that Mrs. Eddy knew would prove to be somehow present, that lay concealed, even in that terrible experience called the Next Friend suit? It was that those who at her demise usurped her place and authority and disobeyed the manual could not hide behind the lie that she was mentally incompetent when she wrote the bylaws terminating the 5-member ecclesiastical board. Also because a court of law had proven her extremely sharp and mentally competent, these usurpers, tried as they would, were never really able to persuade the field and all the world that she was mentally incompetent when she terminated all central and material church organization. The court sent Masters and senior counsel were not friendly toward Mrs. Eddy before their interview with her, but during the conference their opinion changed. Their report that they found her highly intelligent, astute, and sagacious provided all mankind forever with the assurance that Mary Baker Eddy was fully competent when she wrote the manual bylaws, terminating the 5-member board and all centralized control. What the entire antagonistic press, pulpit, and medical faculty could not accomplish while Mary Baker Eddy was present to meet their attacks, her own students, through disobedience to her manual directions, have accomplished in a few short years since she said farewell to this earthly scene on December 3, 1910. This date, December 3, 1910, will someday be recognized as having ended the present era. The price Mrs. Eddy paid to found Christian Science in human consciousness was total self-sacrifice. She asked the help of others in exposing error to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. A lie left to itself, she said, is not so soon destroyed as it is with the help of truth-telling. Today, it remains for the Christian Science field to wake up and see that if Mrs. Eddy's manual were obeyed, Christian Science, as a vital, healing force in the world, would again flourish, leading humanity to recognize and realize its divinity, its divine identity. page 139. They to whom he had given the highest proofs of the science of being misinterpreted them, and said deridingly, "He maketh himself as God." He whom the rabbis had hoped to bury in a sepulchre, today is acknowledged God. And this God and this truth that Jesus taught and proved over 18 centuries ago, in days to come will be understood. This great truth is not something yet to come. It is here and now, ever present. Unquote. In these last two excerpts, Mrs. Eddy is further making clear the essence of her great discovery, that God is all, and that Jesus knew he was principle, expressed in a way that humanity 2,000 years ago could scarcely begin to understand. He taught, in effect, "I don't have to pray to God for anything. I am God. I don't have to pray for life. I am life. I don't have to pray for an understanding of truth. I am truth. But of mine own self I can do nothing. A selfhood apart from God must be crucified." Through the explanation of science and the second coming of the Christ, all mankind, since there is only one mind, is destined to arrive at the same understanding Christ Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy attained. These last two excerpts lead up to the end of Chapter 2, Imposition and Demonstration, which has emphasized the imposition of hypnotic suggestion in the form of human birth and the veil it draws over reality. The chapter touched on the terrible persecution endured by Jesus and by Mary Baker Eddy. Here we find that this gospel of suffering brought life and bliss. This is earth's Bethel in stone, its pillow, supporting the ladder which reaches heaven. Page 145, first edition. The highest standpoint of being is its science, but opinions, doctrines, and beliefs afford no demonstrable principle to reach it and enable man to work out his own salvation. 'Tis truth, the principle of man, that does this. But is there not a smoother and broader path to harmony or heaven? And cannot Christianity be coupled with worldly peace and prosperity? The very nature of it is peace and blessedness, but its joys and triumphs are not earthly. They are passing away from matter to spirit. By this we do not mean death, nor a sudden ecstasy, but the gradual fading out of material things, of earthly desires, possessions, and pleasures, and the coming in of purity, truth, and immortality. The demands of personal sense will grow less. The appetite becomes simple. Pride, malice, and all sin will yield to meekness, mercy, and love, until, finally, the belief of life in matter yields to the consciousness that life is spirit, and spirit God. Unquote. Here we have the final paragraph of Chapter 2. We have learned that we can demonstrate our God-being only to the extent that we overcome the imposition of illusions. We must overcome the hypnotism that makes us believe we are separated from God, and find ourselves to be infinite good, expressing itself as what is called man. Quote, "All good thoughts and deeds are science that proceeds not from a doctrinal basis, but are soul-subduing sin, personal belief, personal pleasure or pain, and revealing all harmony, righteousness and blessedness in our God-being," unquote, is the final sentence in this vital Chapter 2, Imposition and Demonstration. Chapter 3, Spirit and Matter, will continue to instruct us that when personal sense is exchanged for the science of being, all things become immortal and harmonious. What the Apostle called the new man is what the science of being, so new to the world of sense, will bring out when not strangled by error and persecution. Review of First Edition, Chapter 3, Spirit and Matter. Brief 19. Your own divine mind is the power. God, the only I am, constitutes individual being. Chapter 3, Spirit and Matter, immediately tells us that when personal sense is exchanged for the science of being, all things become immortal and harmonious. Every belief of matter as substance, life, or intelligence must be destroyed before man is found the image and likeness of God. Being constituted of divine qualities that are harmonious and eternal, we will forever recognize each other just as we do on the telephone where no matter body is seen. Page 149, Jesus said, I and the Father mind are one, that is, I am soul and not body, spirit and not matter. Hence there is but one intelligence or soul, because there is but one God. Recollect, I signifies God and not man, principle and not person, spirit and not matter. And this is the science of soul and body that enables us to heal the sick on the principle or truth of man. The accusation most denunciatory to Jesus, the great demonstrator of the science of being, was this: He maketh himself as God. But this, his spiritual understanding that his true being was God, also was the point that made him all he was more than other men. When this fundamental truth is understood, it will be found to bring out all the possibilities of being. Unquote. Here again we are reminded, as we were on page 126, and will be again on page 155, that he maketh himself as God was the accusation of his materially minded foes. In stressing this point, Mrs. Eddy wants us to see that the kingdom of God is within us. She wants us to see that what Jesus said about himself is also true of us all, namely, I and the Father are one. He that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me, because the I of me is also the I of you and of everyone, since there is but one I or us. This I is God. But the materially minded priests and Pharisees thought it heresy when Jesus claimed he was one with God. Of course, the corporeal Jesus was not Christ, as some religions teach. The Christ is the spiritual individual that the eye cannot see. Jesus endeavored to teach this truth when he said, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. It was Jesus' divine mind, his invisible divine understanding, that was the Christ, or God. Only by the spiritualization of consciousness can you know the truth. Infinite good, truth, is present whether you know it or not, just as 3 and 3 are 6 is present whether you know it or not. But to be useful to you, you must consciously know it. Quote, The final understanding that we are spirit, the understanding that the I of us is God, must come. Unquote. That's from the first edition. In her 1910 edition, she also tells us what we are, namely, I am spirit. Man, whose senses are spiritual, is my likeness. He reflects the infinite understanding, for I am infinity. We can only bring out all the possibilities of being, as she states above, as we discover the divine principle of all activity and goodness right within our own consciousness. Page 151, first edition. The less we admit matter intelligent and cease to call the body I, the more we gather ourselves in the good. The sooner will God be understood, and man will be found the image and likeness of God. Unquote. In the final edition, Mrs. Eddy instructs, The human mind will sometime rise above all material and physical sense, exchanging it for spiritual perception, and exchanging human concepts for the divine consciousness. Unquote. Proportionately, as we become aware of the God consciousness, that has always been our true consciousness, does the structure of our consciousness become one with the structure of reality. Page 152, first edition. To understand that the I is intelligence, and this the one God, the kingdom of God within you, enables man to gain the immortality of soul and to destroy the errors of sense, the errors imposed by hypnotic suggestion, which veil our true divine selfhood. Unquote. Through study and practice, you gradually learn to get the little I out of the way, to see that of your own self, the self born of the flesh, you are nothing, can do nothing. But as you turn to the true I and consciously realize the I that I am, the God consciousness that is your real identity, you become aware that you are the very presence and power of God. Infinite good is the only I that can identify itself as the I of you or anyone. Therefore, when you are called upon for help, you will not see a person needing help. That claim is hypnotism. Your awareness that the one I is God, which is always complete, needing no healing, will do the healing. You look past the mirage, the appearance confronting you, and behold only God's presence. Studying the Word of God as presented in the first and second coming of the Christ, you feel a response from the God mind within you, and you more clearly perceive the I that is the real I of you and of all. Dedicated study and practicing what you learn causes the hypnotic sense of a little personal I to fade out. Prophecies and a Worldwide Overturning. On page 154, first edition, we read, "The signs of today point to the era when all that really is will be understood spirit and its phenomena."